Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Matthew 17:20. He replied, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Welcome to the throwback edition of this program today. If you haven't heard, they double booked the church, and since we were guaranteed it first, we have to find another one. So prayers go out to anyone out there for us to help us find the church. You know, God can help us move mountains, and we will move a mountain, and behind that will be a better church. So keep us in your prayers, folks, and welcome to this throwback edition. If you haven't heard, Alex Ferguson, the manager of Manchester United, is in talks with Red Van Nistelrooy, the striker from the Netherlands. A deal has not been reached, and the price that he will be paid has not been set in stone. Also, if you saw CBS News yesterday, Ronald Reagan said in his speech, "Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Will Gorbachev do it? That and more as the conversation begins. Welcome. Those are two kind of throwback comments. I wish we could go back to the days of Sir Alex Ferguson and Ronald Reagan, but we got to move forward. In this throwback edition, I want to talk about some things that they did and how we can learn from our history. As I said before, you can't go forward unless you know your past. Also, in this throwback edition, a little bit later in the program, we're going to go into what I used to talk about back in my first couple episodes about the paranormal and UFOs, USOs, ghosts, what have you, and how that relates to everything. Because is there one right answer for everything? I don't think so. Welcome, and thank you all for tuning in and listening in. I want to get into something that I think is very, very disturbing, and I feel led to talk about this. Somebody on Facebook, and there's several people that have done this, there's a petition out there to have the FCC revoke Fox News' license. They have a petition out there that they're trying to get people to sign to get the FCC to revoke its license for broadcasting for Fox News. Let me tell you something, folks. I hate MSNBC. I don't like the Communist News Network. I don't like ABC, CBS, CNBC, NBC. But I never want them off the air. Ever. I want Chris Matthews to be able to say what he wants to say. I want to be able to turn it on. Okay, what's Rachel talking about? What's Rachel Maddow talking about? What is Rachel Maddow talking about? What are these people talking about? What is NBC saying? They have that right. But apparently, we got to get rid of Fox News because they're evil. You're not an American if you want Fox News off the air. I'm sorry. We're about freedom. I cannot agree with everything within. I have atheist friends. I can't agree with them on many things. But I hope that we would agree upon that gays should not be stoned. That they shouldn't be stoning gays, taking rocks and throwing them at them and stoning them until they're dead. Or throwing them off a third-story building with their hands tied behind their back until they die. They shouldn't be banned licenses because it's a mental disorder. We can agree upon things. We need to come together. See, you're not going to heaven because, see, I'm a Catholic and we're going to heaven. And since you're a Baptist, you're not. Now, if you want, I can help convert you into a Catholic and I can get you to heaven because I know the way. Well, you want to know who gets to heaven, folks? It's the Mormons who get to heaven. The Mormons are the right religion. You'll go up there and you'll make macaroni paintings and you'll get to see Joseph Smith, and it'll be a grand old time. Folks, I don't agree with a Mormon, but I can stand next to a Mormon on what I do agree upon. And that's what we got to do in this world. We got to come together. Like that march in Selma. 50 years ago, American flags everywhere. None now. None. Why aren't there American flags? What? I mean, I don't get it. Because, oh, we're going to offend somebody. We might have. You know what? If you're offended by our flag, then you should be offended by our benefits and you shouldn't be here. If I ever, if me and my girl get a surrogate mother or adopt or whatever, have a kid somehow, whatever, and they tell me that, you know, you need to take that shirt off because it offends because it's American, I'd be saying, well, then you tell me, you direct me to who it's going to offend because I'm going to help them pack. And until you can tell me specifically who it offends, my daughter ain't taking that shirt off for nobody. Over her, you will have to kill her and take that shirt off her body before I will ever allow that to be taken off. What we're going to do, just wait till tomorrow. She's going to come in with an American flag tattooed on her forehead. And USA tattooed on each cheek. What are you going to do, make her wear a mask? How can you be, I know so many people that claim they're American, but then, oh, sign this petition to get Fox News taken off the air. So you don't support freedom of speech? When you see videos where, okay, here's a MSNBC video, and here's the original video, and it's been edited. There was one where I had a Tea Party member, and he was carrying like an AR-15, and he's like, you know, protesting against the government, and they said, oh, look at these evil Tea Partiers, yada, yada, yada. And if you saw the complete whole video, it pans up, and it's a black guy. I remember when that stuff happened in Ferguson, and those guys came in, Tea Partiers, and they said, yeah, we're going to use your hair salon from now on. We want to buy like $100 in gift certificates, like each one of them, and this is what we're going to get our haircuts from now on. It was like a black-owned shop, and this lady goes, You guys have made me lose my mind because you're exact opposite of everything I've been told about Tea Party people. And they said, no, we're about America. We're about giving back. It's not about being, oh, well, she's atheist, so screw her. She's a human being like everyone else. Can we stand together? Can we learn from that history? On this throwback edition, can we learn from our history, folks? You know, it wasn't Jobs that was keeping Hitler from doing what he's doing. You know, it's not like we needed to give the Germans jobs and they wouldn't have done what they did. Oh, but, you know, that's, we just got to give these extremists jobs and everything's going to be fixed. That's what it is. Really? No one wants to go to war, folks. But we got to stand up at some point and say, hey, Glenn Beck's a doomsdayer? No, he's not. I don't believe it. This is, he just sees what is coming. Okay? I guarantee you, someone in the Northeast this winter was probably glad that they bought that survival food that Glenn Beck advertises. You know, the people that's, you know, like that Harvest Right freeze dryer? I would love to get one of those freeze dryers to make freeze-dried ice cream and freeze-dried food that lasts 25 years. I'd love to do that. They're expensive as heck. Go to harvestright.com. Check them out. I'm not sponsored by them. They're a great product. They're sponsored by the Blaze. It's a great thing. You need to be prepared for any day. Because you never know when a hurricane or a tornado is going to come. And, hey, you can help out your neighbors. You know, what's wrong with having some gold or silver in case the currency is devalued? What's wrong with having some survival food in case a blizzard or a tornado or hurricane comes and you're prepared? That's not being doomsday, that's being realistic. He's a doomsday. I'm a doomsdayer too, because you know what? I try to put a little bit aside and have extra canned food and stuff. I may not have 25-year survival food, but I make sure I have extra cans of food and stuff and bread in the freezer so I can get by for a couple weeks if I had to. Only if Obama was, not, but it was like Reagan. Only if he was like Reagan, man. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, because I was thinking about this throwback edition I was going to do, and I'm like, I still remember when he was in Chicago and got accept when he did like the acceptance speech, like he when he was voted in as president, and all those people was like, Obama, Obama, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, is someone else seeing what I'm seeing? Okay, take Obama out of the picture and put Kim Jong-un or Kim Il-sung in there, or Saddam Hussein. And that's how it seemed to me, and that's the vibe that's always stuck with me, like, he's our savior, here's the dear leader, praise the dear leader, praise, I'm like, that's the vibe I got. All these people that don't know anything, that are just a machine, that, who'd you vote for? Barack Obama. Well, who's this running mate? John McCain, third. But they're the people that voted for him. They're the. Man. And we can learn a lot from Ronald Reagan and what he did. He almost got attacked. Well, he almost got shot at a golf course. I can't play golf anymore. Nope, can't do it. I'm not going to put anyone's lives in jeopardy. An American gets his head beheaded and chopped off, and what happens? I'm not playing golf. So, I don't know. But wow. Well, Hillary Clinton ran for president. It's a big question. A lot of people say that Barack Obama is trying to tarnish her so that, because he believes there was a thing. I was watching this story where this guy was like, well, they believe that he's trying to tarnish her and get all this, get all this stuff out in the open with her so that she can't run for president because she's going to be like Bill Clinton and work with the Democrats and not keep his political agenda going. And they're trying to find, but I don't know. I have a lot of people that say if she gets the Democratic nomination, she's going to be in like Flynn because everyone's going to vote for her. See, the Democrats, for some reason, get a lot of these people that vote for them that don't watch the news, don't know anything. They just vote for a Democrat. They don't have, I guarantee you, if you had to take a test, like write in Barack Obama's running mates and stuff, most people couldn't do it. But if she gets the Democratic nomination, I think she's guaranteed. I hope she doesn't get it, but, okay, she'll be seen as a moderate, but she's going to keep this, she's going to put the plane in slow motion, but she's still going to have a slam into the Sears Tower. Barack Obama's got us on full throttle with George Soros and all these others that hate America and trying to get us to slam into the Sears Tower and kill us all on this imaginary plane that we're all on. Hillary Clinton's going to do the same thing. She's going to slow it down. As long as she's got her money and she's got everything, she's protecting her butt. All we're seeing out of Hillary Clinton is more of the same old, a Democrat can do it and it's no big deal, but if a Republican does it, Lord help you. I'm waiting for liberals to say, wait a minute, why would a liberal get away with something that a Democrat wouldn't? I'm just kidding. That's a joke. If a liberal gets away with it, why does a Republican not get away with it? I want a liberal to answer that question. How can someone that does something that's a liberal can get away with it, but if a Democrat did that same thing, they would get away with it. But a Tea Partier, how dare they do that? He should be in prison. The more we help people around this world with freedom and their own freedoms, the more we realize how precious ours is going away. We need to come together and realize I have so many, I've had some people that are contradictory. And I'll say it again. We don't want Republicans, we don't want Democrats, we're Americans. Well, then act like an American. Why do you want Fox News off the air if you're an American? You should be like, hey, I don't agree with them, but they have the right to say what they want to say. You may not like MSNBC, but they have the right to say what they want to say. You're not an American if you're trying to eliminate a voice. They tried to eliminate one big voice back in the day, Jesus. What did he do when he was on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're doing. And those two sinners said, we deserve this punishment, but this man doesn't. I'll give you a big throwback Thursday question. What would we do today if Pontius Pilate said, okay, free him. Free Jesus. Let him go. He chose not to choose. He chose not to decide. What if he decided, okay, let him go. Free this man. He's done nothing wrong. Where would we be today? That's the throwback question of the day. Think about that. Wow. What a program, folks. Wow. I mean, but seriously, if we can't agree that gays should not be stoned, and not like on pot, but I'm talking like have rocks thrown at them till they're dead. If we can't agree upon that people, I mean, Christians are being executed way, it's way worse for Christians than it was for Jews in the beginning, right now. And nothing's being done. I'm one voice, but so is Jesus. I am a mustard seed, but I can move a mountain. You know, if you like what you hear, and you agree, stand up, do something. Tell somebody, hey, man, you need to check this guy out. We need more people like him. We need more people to stand up. I mean, that's why I like Howard Stern. Because he said what he wanted to. Okay, we're going to play a word game, folks. Where I say a word and you fill in the blank. Blank-a-doodle-doo. Blank-a-doodle-doo. He was getting, he gets ratings. Why was he taken off NBC? Well, I gotta listen to this guy. He got taken off the radio. What? How? What did he say? What did he do? What did the people that hate Howard Stern listen? Because they wondered what he'd say next. Well, what about the people that liked him? They wondered what he would say next. But you can all agree that you don't want Howard Stern off the air. You want him to be able to say what he wants to say and do what he wants to do. He has that right. That's right. It's what a chicken does. It's cock-a-doodle-doo. That's legal to say, but the other word. Anywho. You may not agree with Howard Stern, but you can agree that he has the right to say what he wants to say. You can come together, pick someone that you may not agree with on that you may have something totally, you may have no commonality with. And I bet you $100 you can sit down and come up with something you can agree upon. And that's, you know, you may not agree with Hillary Clinton, Lord help you, but she should get treated the same as anyone else. Why should she get treated any differently? You know, and that's what I get so confused about. When you have all these liberals that, well, I'm not Republican, not Democrat, American, well. Act like one. stand up for the double standard. Stand up against it. You know? Say, hey, I hate Fox News, but you know what? They have the right to say what they want to say. But then a lot of my friends are the, quote, American. They're very liberal in their thinking. So, I mean, how is it? Oh, a hot air. But I just, there was a letter, I think it was from, it was a prisoner, and I don't know if it was from Iran or Iraq, that was sent to the president that Glenn Beck read today. And if you can get on his site, I'm sure I'll have a clip of it up for free to read, to listen. He's about freedom. He's about, I want to have the ability to have the freedom to live my life. There's an American in here who I've befriended, who when they tried to get Obama to help pardon him and let him go, nope, didn't happen. Basically did nothing. You know, and if we are the beacon of freedom and we lose our beacon and the light goes out, what does that say about every other country? Well, I mean, look at this. They don't have freedom anymore. Well, they were the people that we looked up to because, you know, and so many countries were looking up to us and saying, why aren't you doing anything? Why aren't you fighting? Why aren't you standing up? You know, like Matthew West says, do something. Do something. Wow. And I sit there and I think, what do you do? Because that's the number one question I get asked. Well, Kyle, what do we do? What do we do? Like, something. Say, question. Question with boldness. Say, okay, you say you're an American, then why do you want Fox News off the air? Are you against freedom of speech? If you have video where Barack Obama says something that you believe is negative to this country or negative to America and it's not really positive or what I would consider anti-American, and you show it to a liberal, and if they don't believe you, say, why don't you believe that? It's out of his own mouth. Why? I'm answering my question. I'm questioning with boldness. I want to know why, if there's a video of Barack Obama killing someone, why you would not believe that it's him? Why would you like, oh, whatever, that's just a Republican trying to get back. It's the Democrats. Okay? I don't play that game. I just don't know how people, when you can show them the truth, how they, well, I don't know what that would be. You really believe that? You know, when I've shown liberals videos, you know, where Michelle Obama says that they went to Barack Obama's home nation of Kenya, Africa. Oh, you believe that? Well, she said it, so no, I don't believe it. Whatever. No, I don't believe Fox News. I do my facts checking. When birth records don't add up, 2 and 2, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to believe that we're from a different planet. You know, we're all from the same planet. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that Barack Obama wasn't born in Hawaii, but whatever. You know, I'm a cuckoo bird for believing it. You know, just like I'll talk about here in a little bit, with like UFOs and USOs, as we do a paranormal portion of the Throwback Thursday. You know, so many people, oh, you're a cuckoo bird if you believe that. Well, just think about the Drake equation, and I'll get into that much more. But if you listened to the Arsenal game or watched it, I was listening to it on TalkSport. Oh, wow. As we move on to football, they had a Fellaini counter, like a Fellaini penalty counter. 8 fouls and nothing done. Not a talk to, nothing. And the announcer's like, let me tell you something. I don't know one player in the Premier League that can get that many fouls and not be thrown off. Almost every game, he should be thrown off. And I'm like, I agree. I'm a Manchester fan, but he should be thrown off. I don't like Swain. He hasn't done anything for me. Now, I don't know if it's the Dutch manager, Louis van Gaal, that is trying to adjust and adapt. Because if people don't know a lot about football, the way you play in America is a little bit different than in Brazil or in Spain or in England, which is like some of the main areas where football's played. It's played all over the world, but, you know, some of the best, they've had some great players from Brazil come up to the Premier League, and they just, it's a different style, and they just can't adapt, you know. Angel Di Maria had a bad game. He was thrown out. His house was broken into, and you cannot touch a player. You cannot touch a referee, basically. And he touched a referee, tugged on his shirt, and that's an instant red card. You don't do it, you know. In the Premier League, and I think in Britain in general, they try to stress, you are a role model to kids. Don't do that. I mean, they may have totally flubbed the call, if you will, but 77th minute is thrown out. It was a 2-1 loss. You know, Wayne Rooney got the only goal with a header. I think they don't know where they are. Like, they don't have, okay, they haven't found their position. They haven't been able to, they're like, okay, there's two men open for Arsenal, and there's no one blocking them, no one even near them. And until they figure out how to play together or where they fit in as the in that team puzzle, they've got the 11, they've got 20 puzzle pieces, and all 20 make a puzzle, but they haven't been able to put the pieces together to make the puzzle. And they're trying to put this piece in here, and it's not fitting. And that's the frustration. Chelsea is more than likely going to win the championship, and they deserve it. You know, I just hope we can get into third and get into the Champions League for next year. And I have a feeling that Gabby De Gea is gone. Once they get to the preseason, by the time preseason for next year happens in the offseason, I think he's going to be traded. I can almost guarantee that. Not that who we're getting in replacement is bad. He's very good. But I just don't really want to see Gabby De Gea go. He's incredible. But, you know, like I was saying in the beginning of the throwbacks, you know, you take Alex Ferguson. He would rather have 1-3 points. Okay, if at worst, you know, I'd rather get 3 points. I'd rather risk and try to get three. We're going to lose this game no matter what, so if I don't risk, okay, we've already got no points. If I don't risk and try to get 3 points, if I don't try to risk what we have, well, we're going to get no points anyways right now. We're down 1-0, but maybe if I risk and do some things, we might get 1-1. And just some of the decisions, I think he's trying to set up the team the way he's used to playing it. And, well, this is how I feel it'll work in the Premier League. Well, maybe go back to the way you used to do it back. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Enough about Man United. I kind of feel like the first year that Miami Heat had all the good players, you know, they had Dwayne Wade and LeBron James for the first time, and they were just kind of like good, but they were just kind of like not on the same page. That's how I kind of feel. We got great players, they're just not on the same page. And it's Alex Ferguson could help them work on that, just like Van Gaal can help work them work on it. You know, Louis Van Gaal can help his players just like Alex Ferguson could help his players when he was the manager. But at some point, they're going to, okay, we got to take what we got and go with it, and we got to learn to, okay, maybe we need to get like a small apartment and we all live together. And, you know, without even me thinking about it, I'm standing in the bathroom and you're brushing my teeth. You know me that well. You know, okay, let's play a 5-minute game blindfolded. And we should be able to pass each other the ball being blindfolded. So we know where we're going to be. So, until they can learn to work together, I think we're doomsday. You know, we'll be in the same fourth or fifth place until they can figure out something. And hopefully next year they'll get the bugs worked out, and kinks worked out, and everything will be good. As we move on to this paranormal part of the show, this is what I used to do. I'm always fascinated by like the Sphinx and the pyramids and the Nazca lines and different things. And so we'll start with the Nazca lines. If you really look at those Nazca lines in Peru, they can only show their true beauty and their true value from the sky. They're not really meant, in my opinion, to be viewed from the ground. But how does a jungle dweller, a monkey, get strewn in a desert area? And for what purpose? There's a snake, not a snake, but a spider, that's one continuous line. But for what purpose? There's a guy that almost looks like a guy with like a space helmet. They're huge. All the lines, there's not even a total of how many, there's not even a tally of how many lines there are in Nazca. They don't even have it. Just sort of like if you look at the Great Wall of China, it's not all been mapped. They don't know the exact number of all the Nazca lines. There's all these straight lines and geometrical shapes for what purpose? And there's one where this guy goes, okay, look at how old these lines are, and they're untouched. Okay, well, look at this. It looks like the top of the mountain was just seared off. But where's the rocks? Where's all the stone? And there's archaeologists that are doing digs and stuff, and they found actually like heads and stuff that show people from other parts of the world, of the U.S. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of like, they're in North America. When I said the U.S., I meant North America. And there's like people from like the Arctic through DNA testing with them that would be from that region. And one thing a lot of people can't account for is like a lot of these ancient civilizations, they did a lot of things in common. Okay, they had no communication with each other, but they were building the same types of pyramids. Several of them did cranial binding. Why do they have these elongated skulls? Why did they do that? A lot of people believe that it was to mimic the gods. Well, who are the gods? And it goes back to something that I talked about on one of my programs. There are people that, okay, I believe in God on blind faith. I'm always going to believe in God. Nothing's going to stop that. And I know a lot of people that believe in God on blind faith. Well, show me a UFO. Show me an extraterrestrial. I want to see, you know, have me meet an extraterrestrial. Show me one. I want to see physical evidence of a UFO or a piece of metal that I can have analyzed that will show that it's not from this earth. And it's an actual piece, not like a rock. It's an actual piece of metal, like a square piece or a triangle piece from an airplane. And then when I test it, it has minerals that are not on this. Well, wait a minute. You have to have all that to prove the existence of UFOs, but when it comes to God, you'll just believe in it on blind faith. That makes no sense. You know, the Drake Equation basically says that there are more than 10,000 planets in the Milky Way galaxy alone that can harbor life. I just don't know how people can believe in God on blind faith, but then have to have all this proof that a UFO exists. There's more video and photography evidence of extraterrestrials and UFOs than of God, but they won't believe in UFOs because there's no actual physical proof, but they've never actually shaken the hand of Jesus. I mean, I believe in God, always will, but I also believe that life exists on another planet. We can't possibly be the only civilization that God created. You know, but I remember a couple years ago, there was an object that was seen in the skies, and it was videotaped by, like, news crews and stuff in New York, and they had this person from, like, NASA that was on, like, a local CBS station in New York, and they're like, calm down, folks, it's not the end of the world, it's not aliens coming to kill us all, calm down. I'm like, really? Like, we believe that these beings that are visiting us are just here to kill us all? They would have done it by now. You know, I don't get it. You know, where is this notion that, oh, if there's life from other planets, they're just coming to kill us all? I don't get that. I don't get that. Why people think that. I can tell you why they do. October 4th, like Sag Harbor. It's a Colorado. No, it's Nova Scotia, Canada event. It wasn't a UFO. They said they saw an aircraft go into the water. Or they deemed it was an aircraft. They had state police and everything. They had boats out there. Never found anything. They didn't say, well, wait a minute, a UFO in the water. They said it was a USO. No, they said it was an airplane. If you don't know, a USO is an unidentified submerged object, and UFO is unidentified flying object. And when I mean UFO, okay, I've seen things in the sky at night that I can't explain. Is it an extraterrestrial spacecraft? No, it's just unidentified. It could be a military spacecraft. It could be a military craft. It could be an airplane. I just can't identify it. You know, so many people, so you believe in aliens? I'm like, yeah, but not everything people see is necessarily an extraterrestrial spacecraft. Just because they call it a UFO, they call it that because it's unidentified. They can't explain what it is. If you had someone that, oh yeah, that's an Air Force A-261 bomber. It's a triangle-shaped craft. It uses nuclear propulsion or whatever. You know, oh okay. You know, then you know. But they in the Sag Harbor incident, they saw a plane go down. They didn't say it was a UFO. They said a plane crashed into the water. State trooper saw it and. All that some people said is there were people who said that there was like a submarine type object in the bottom of the ocean that was there for like several days and then moved off and disappeared. I mean, you go back to Christopher Columbus's logs and there's evidences that people wrote down of like something going into the water and coming out of the water. You know, they have logs going back to people seeing things flying in the sky before there were airplanes. Way before the Wright brothers did their first flight, you know, they saw something flying in the sky. Well, how can it couldn't have been an airplane, you know? What could it be? I'm just fascinated by stuff that's unexplained. I mean, this is what says it best. Stanton Friedman said this, and it was about Roswell. Anyways, you got to understand the cover-up in Roswell, because remember, Roswell was a UFO until mass panic set in. And then, whoops, it's a weather balloon. You know, you got to understand, the Roswell Army Air Base was high security clearance. Only the best of the best worked there. And they're going to misidentify a weather balloon. Stanton Friedman said it best. Because you got, this is the reason for the cover up. This is the truth. This is right after World War I and World War II, one of the most deadliest wars in our nation's history. You're not thinking in terms of nice guys coming to visit. I mean, what could they tell the American public? Hey, we just want you to know that there are crafts coming from another world with beings from another place. We have no idea who they are, where they come from. We can't stop them. We can't do anything about it. We can't protect you. But we thought we'd just let you know that. For that group of people at that time would have been irresponsible. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people say extraterrestrials and aliens can exist, because if you got on a Boeing 747 the day that Jesus was crucified, you wouldn't even be to the nearest star like Sirius B. You wouldn't even be there yet, let alone back. If you got on a plane that left, you know. Because I think to get to Sirius B, it would take 7 light years. And it would be like a blink of the eye for you. But by the time you got back to Earth, it'd be like 14 years had gone by. So, it's just things that fascinate me, you know. It's like, why can't we say, hey, yeah. You know, I can honestly see a day when someone comes up to me, it's a gray alien, and goes, we didn't want to frighten you, but I am who you worship. I am God. Because you do good things to good people, I reward you, you know. Okay. I could see that, you know. And who is God? I mean, I believe in Jesus. I believe it's never going to change, you know. But like a lot of these ancient civilizations, they talk, even the Native Americans talk about the guardians of the sky, these people that came down from the heavens. Well, when they talk about some of this stuff, what are they? They're talking about people that came down from the sky. That's heaven. They're not, you know. It's like the people in India that believe that they had fights on these flying carpets called Vimanas. You know, if you weren't talking about extraterrestrials and ancient aliens in India, you'd be out of a job, because they believe that their ancestors were on these flying carpets and had fights in the sky. Now, nowadays, if you were to rewrite that just a little bit, it would refer to like planes in the sky. Well, as far as I know, planes weren't around until just recently. So what was up in the sky that they were fighting? You know? What were these things called Vimanas that they believe in? You know? Got about 16 minutes left in this paranormal part of the program. Thanks y'all for tuning in and spending an hour with me. And I'm just fascinated by stuff that is like the that really that makes you think. Like the what is it? The Pumapunku in the highlands of Bolivia. Where those stones are like hundreds of tons. And this one guy goes, and there are rocks that are on this one mountain face that this guy goes, I know how I can move those now, but it would be a feat for me, because I'm used to moving large stones, to get those stones like they are on that side of that mountain. That would be, I could do it. I'm not saying I couldn't, but it'd be very, very difficult. And that's using like heavy machinery, you know, specialized cranes. But back then, they wouldn't have had that. Like in Pumapunku, some of those cuts are so precise that it's like you couldn't have done that with a chisel. Because there's ones where there are blocks that it's a block, and in this block, they cut, let's say, like a 10-inch hole. And then they go in and they cut an 8-inch hole. And then they go in further and cut a 6-inch hole. And then a 4-inch hole. Like a square. And it's like, this guy goes, well, I cut stone for a living, and I do like carving out of stone. That is, I'd love to meet who did this. I'd love to know how they did that. That's incredible. It's so precise that when you put like a 90 degree T in there, there's no light getting through. It's that precise, that perfect. I mean, those things are so smooth on top that you couldn't achieve that with a chisel. It just fascinates me. You know, and like all these, like when they found in some of these tombs, like objects that resemble a plane. And then they've actually taken this gold figure that looks like a modern day kind of plane, and they've just enlarged it and put like an engine on the back and remote controlled it, and it flied with accuracy and great precision. And they didn't do anything to it except for make a exact duplicate, only it was bigger. Because the gold little thing they have is real tiny, like an inch, you know, like maybe 2 inches big. And they enlarge it so that it's like a foot, like 3 feet big or whatever. I forget how big they made it, but identical. I'm just fascinated by things that we can't explain. You know, there's evidence that life on this planet had dinosaurs and humans. There's a lady that goes, I can basically prove the evidence I can show you would put you in jail for murder. It's that accurate, that right on. And it proves that man was some sort of human walking on 2 feet was on the planet at the same time as the dinosaurs. But that is scientifically not, they've always been told that dinosaurs, humans, not on the planet at the same time. But she's been able to prove it. That they were, that there was some sort of upright person that used plates and bowls and had 2 feet, you know, like a human, some sort of human that were on the same planet and at the same time as dinosaurs. But we've always been taught to believe that that's not the case. Some people say they don't want to admit it because then they'd have to rewrite all of history. Everything we know, everything, same thing with extraterrestrials. If you were to say that extraterrestrials, life exists, and you have to take the Bible and throw it out and rewrite it. Because the Bible says, you know, everything, God created everything. Well, the heavens and the earth, yeah. In my opinion, what is the heavens and the earth? It's this earth and everything around it. All the galaxies, everything. The day when science relied on God. I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. I'm not ever going against that. It just makes you think. You know, when people have missing time experiences. I mean, I've seen things in the sky that I can't explain. And there's a dot in the sky here and it disappears and reappears here. I can't explain it. I don't know what it is. I know nothing. As far as I know, my physics tells me that that's not logical. What it was, I can't tell you. I'm not saying it's extraterrestrial. I'm just saying, it's sort of like with ghosts. You know, you try to rationalize it. I used to work at a restaurant that was haunted. I did catering. So I remember one time my boss had a little bit too much to drink, so he slept in the catering hall, and he said it was in the summer, and it was warm, and he had the air conditioning on just a little bit, about like 70 degrees, you know, 75 degrees in there. And he said while he was sleeping, he felt like someone took and poured like liquid nitrogen over him. It just all of a sudden, he got this blast of like ice cold air, like the temperature dropped to like 40. I mean, we used to have all the time, you'd hear chairs moving, and you'd always have to go out to the front and look. We're the ones here. Okay, because how do you know if someone didn't break in? I remember we were down in the basement where we kept all our stuff in this old basement, and they had a coal stove. Where like they had like an old grinder thing where you put the coal in and it would like a meat grinder would like pull the coal in and it would heat the place way back in the day. And I snuck, like I went upstairs and I went back and went behind one of these Christmas trees, and one of my good friends Laura, she was helping me doing the catering, and she had these two chafers in her hands holding them, and I shook the Christmas trees. She dropped those things, turned white as a ghost, ran out, and I start laughing, and she goes, oh my, bleep and bleep and bleep, you scared the bleep, the bleep, the bleep. And I started talking to her, and she goes, I'm like, what the heck? And she goes, stuff happens here. I'm like, oh, you know, I believe, I just, not there, I didn't, hadn't, I'm like, yeah. And she started talking about things that happened and stuff, and I'm like, you know, and And so, I mean, I remember I heard my name being called when I'm the only one in there. And I remember my cell phone, I was talking to my mom, fully charged cell phone, and it went to zero. So I called my mom on the phone, and she goes, "You okay?" I'm like, I'm closing up the shop and I'm stopping inventory. And I had to explain to my boss why the inventory wasn't finished. I'm like, well, when I was there and I heard my name being called, and I thought it was her and Brandon, just coming. I'm like, no, that would have been from that direction. I heard it coming from this direction. And you try to explain it away, but, it's just one of those things that, oh, you're a cuckoo bird. I've talked to people that believe in God now because they moved into a house that was possessed by like demonic spirits or whatever you want to call them. And when they had a priest or whatever come over and get rid of it, they're Christians. They're like, wait a minute, I never believed in any of this. I thought it was all heresy. But now let me tell you, that stuff is real. And now they're leaders. But it's just, it's just interesting how, I'm just fascinated by stuff like that. Like, in, where is it? In South Carolina, there's a guy called the Grey Ghost, and supposedly people claim that who have seen him, they've seen him right before like a hurricane, and their house has been spared. There was a couple, this was like in the 80s, I guess a hurricane hit that area. Every house around is destroyed. This couple that saw this ghost, the Grey Ghost, they had towels that were, they have like one of those like poles where it has like a square around the at the top, and it has like four lines on each side, and they hang clothes from it. They had clothes hanging there. They had towels hanging on their banister of their porch, untouched. Houses leveled to the left and to the right. And there's a lot of people that claim that whoever has seen this Grey Ghost or who's the guy has appeared to, they have had their house saved and all this, and it just makes you wonder. I guess my first couple episodes on the Throwback Edition were about the paranormal, and I guess it's always fascinating me. I've always been one that's been intrigued by things you can't necessarily explain, and maybe someday we'll have an answer. Like in Ireland, in Bugsby's chair. He was a guy that killed a bunch of people and all this stuff, and they granted him one last wish. And he goes, "I'm going to go to my bar." He called it his bar, it was like his favorite place. He sat in his favorite chair and had a pint of beer. And when he was leaving, he said, "Anyone that sits in that chair will have a sudden fate." And there's been records that anyone that they've noticed that has sat in that chair within 24 hours, usually less than that, usually within about 12 hours, that they've died. And it's to the point now where they have it like a museum in Ireland, and it's like nailed to the wall very high up. And he goes, most people, I don't even think they dust it. People don't even want to touch it. There was a guy that I guess they put it in the basement, and a guy accidentally tripped and fell into the chair. And he goes, "Oh, I wouldn't. Oh, no." And he goes, "Oh, you believe that stuff?" And within like 12 hours, the guy died. And there's like 20 accounts of people that had sat in that chair that died. And people that go, "I don't believe in this stuff, and I'm not going to sit in that chair." And it's just, I don't know, I just think it's fascinating to try to see, like, well, why did people from all these different cultures do cranial binding? Why did they build pyramids? I mean, there are like one of the pyramids in the Great Pyramid in Giza is perfectly with the north and south. When you take like the Mayan, there's one Mayan, I think it's one of the Mayan temples and one of the pyramids in Egypt that are within like a centimeter of being 199% exactly the same size, bottom diameter. Almost, I mean, it's so close that it's, and those pyramids are more accurately aligned and more perfect than the Twin Towers were. And it's just, And if you go by what the Egyptians say, they would have had to have cut, shaped, formed, and put into place one block from raw stone every 9 seconds. And what was it used for? I mean, there's so many. It just, because it's like a never-ending puzzle. You're always like, okay, well, so that's why I guess why I like history. It's like when you go to the Feast of the Hundred Moon, we change stuff. Every time we find out, well, this is what we thought they did, and then we find out, no, that's not the case. This is not the case. That's not the case. So it's just one of those things that makes you like, wow. When you learn about your history, you know, the more you learn about your history, you know, you can go forward. As you can say, okay, hey, wow, this is why they did this? Oh, I thought it was for this, but, you know, okay, now it makes sense. Hey, we've been using this thing all along. We've been using it wrong, you know? I mean, you're not going to want to take a restaurant and run it like this one that doesn't work. I mean, I don't want to start a chain and run it like Kmart. I want to, you know, they're going backwards because they didn't do a whole supermarket like everyone else did, like Target and Meijer and all that. You know? I guess that's why I like the paranormal stuff, because a lot of it involves history. It's, you know? You know? It's like, I don't know if you've heard, but I guess it was announced about a week ago at the World Hide and Go Seek Championships again. For the 10th year in a row, the hide and go seek champion is Bigfoot. Yes, sir. It's just hilarious, you know. The hide and go seek champion, Bigfoot. Does he exist? I don't know. I just think it's, you know, it's like those crop circles. The one guy that hoaxed him said, we can't account for every single crop circle. So are they? I don't know. Will we ever know? Who knows? I think it's one of those things that's going to be a mystery that we'll always, I don't think we'll ever have the answer to. And I guess that's why I like investigating it, because it's kind of fun, because you never know what the history is going to bring. You never know what, I mean, if you find the answer, that's great. If not, oh well. But I got less than a minute, and I just want to thank you all for tuning in to this throwback edition with some of the paranormal stuff, because I think it's kind of cool. It's neat just to look into that and, you know, question with boldness, you know, what is it? And that's what I think we got to do in this world. We got to question with boldness. Ask the right questions, you know. How can we got to be able to help others to help ourselves. You know, if we can't help ourselves, then we can't help others and vice versa. I want to thank you all for tuning into the program. Y'all have a great day, and until next week, God bless, and goodbye.